Amen. Appreciate Brother Matthew's testimony. And it's interesting because of some of the things that he said, of how the things that would challenge him and nourish him became boring. Well, we're living in a world where everybody's bored with the gospel. But the thing is when there's a touch of God, and when God draws nigh, then all of a sudden it sparks that hunger fresh and anew. And then those things become alive. You know, it's just amazing. And it's just the Word of God is alive to those that are wanting it. Amen. But if you're not wanting it, then it's boring. All right, Matthew chapter number 28. And if you're bored in the house of God, my friend, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You need a fresh touch of the power of God. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19 here tonight. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Praise our God. You can be seated again tonight. Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. And then we'll be going to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 24. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." Now, I want you to realize here tonight that in Matthew, this was Matthew's rendition of the same day. See, it's always wonderful and amazing how different people can be at the same place and hear the same message, but come away with a little bit different rendition, but it still means the same thing. That's the diversity of humanity. Amen. And Luke gives us his rendition. This is not all Luke's rendition, but it's just the reality of, you got to take it all. You've got to keep it all together and realize that as these gospels begin to share Jesus Christ and the message of Christ, and even then the epistles, it all works together. It doesn't work against each other. It works together to bring a fullness to our knowledge and our understanding. That's why you can't get bogged down in one spot. You got to keep the fullness going of the Word of God and keep it continually coming over us. Because I want to now go to 2 Timothy 2 and 24. Whether you realize it or not, by the time I'm done, this scripture goes hand in hand with the two that I've just read to you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." The Great Commission given to Timothy by Paul, another individual. He wasn't there when Jesus ascended, but Paul was taught by Jesus himself. And then he began to instruct Timothy. And as he began to instruct Timothy, I believe this is exactly how the Great Commission must be fulfilled. I really do. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Do you know teaching takes patience? Can I get an amen from the teacher section? How many we got in here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We're all teachers. See, that's what I'm after here tonight. You see, as we read in Matthew chapter 28, he said, go and teach them. Teach them. Train them. Instruct them. That is what it means in 2 Timothy 2 and 24, where it says, apt to teach. In the Greek, it means to be instructive. If you will, always taking the time in the circumstances of life to be ready to instruct those who don't understand. Because whether you've learned it yet or not, especially moms and dads with younger children, it takes a long time to instruct children. It takes a lot of time to instruct children. You know, it does. And this is Pastor Pepper 15 and 2. I've been around long enough. Grow not weary in the work of love. Amen. Hallelujah. Because that's what it takes to teach. And, it does pay off in time. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So what I want to preach on here tonight, and I'm trying to get there. I'm going somewhere with this tonight. The Lord's going to be my helper. I trust that He is. The title tonight is Living There. Living There. You know, there's a lot of places we like to go visit. I love Colorado. I like the mountains. I love to go visit there. But I wouldn't want to live there. I like where I live right here. I've traveled. We've been to D.C. I mean, I love going there. We've been out to North Carolina. We've been Niagara Falls. And I loved being there. Enjoyed what I saw there and what I experienced there. But I wouldn't want to live there. But this is where I want to live. Living there. Living there. Where am I going to live? Living the Great Commission. Living the Christian life. Not just thinking about it. Not just knowing about it. But living there. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Patience and gentleness are invaluable Christian virtues. In any occupation, anywhere you go, any work that you do, when you have gentleness and you have patience, you will go a long ways in that occupation because you will always be apt to teach. Amen. And that's just the thing about apt to teach. And I just kind of got hung up on that, and I began to look at that to the fact that you want to take the time to teach somebody. And see, this is something actually in my life that I have actually struggled with. Taking the time to teach in the everyday run. In the everyday life. It's easy to take time to teach in Sunday school. It's easy to take time to teach, really, in a Christian school. And it's easy to take time to teach in preaching, because that's what we're here for. That's what we're doing. But what Paul is telling Timothy, and the context of what he's talking about, is when you're out there amongst the world, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Woo! Hallelujah. But be gentle unto all men. Hallelujah. You see, we've got to get past ourselves. We got to get past being right. We got to get past trying to prove a point. And we got to live there. Hallelujah. You see, when you're living in the presence of the King, you don't have anything to prove. You don't have to prove anything to anybody because you're living there. Hallelujah. They're seeing it. They're experiencing it. And you're just looking for opportunity to talk about it. But if they don't want to talk about it, you won't talk about it either. Amen. You see why? You're being gentle unto all men. You don't want to strive with people. You know just as well as I know, there are certain individuals that they just love to strive. They just love to debate. I'm sorry, and I hope I don't get on anybody's toes, but debate is not preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. It's not up for debate. It's to be preached. It's to be shared. It's to be lived. Hallelujah. And if nobody wants to live it, then you just live it yourself. Hallelujah. You live it in front of them. You walk it in front. You live there. Hallelujah. It's not something that you put on. It's something that you are. Woo, hallelujah, living there, praise God. You see, there's just things about our commission and our Christianity that just have to be in our lives. It's not something we can put on, because if we try to put it on, we may not get it on straight. Woo, hello. But if we're living there, it's just who we are. It's just how we are. And we're not putting it on. It's us. Hallelujah. It's us. The reality is, so many times people like to excuse themselves and say, well, that's just the way I am, to make an excuse for wrongdoing. But can you say that about doing good? Well, that's just the way I am. I just do good. That's just the way I am. Woo! We never say it like that, because most of the time we're trying to cover up that we ain't that. Hallelujah. And so we see that living there is being all you can be for the Lord Jesus Christ, and letting Him work His wonderful works in you. And these testimonies here tonight just made this preaching pretty easy for me. Praise God, because it's already been shared, wrapped around this whole building in these testimonies of the reality of God just having His way with us. See, there's one thing about, if you're going to be effective in reaching someone for Christ Jesus and sharing this gospel and presenting the kingdom of God, you're going to have some sound doctrine. You're going to have some straight teaching. Now, once again, remember, the servant of the Lord must not strive. I want you to keep bouncing back to that as we go through this. And the reality of being straight and having sound doctrine does not eliminate gentleness. Mm-hmm. What it eliminates is arrogancy. What it eliminates is me trying to prove the point and be the one on top. You see, I already realize who's on top. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All power has been given unto Him in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. He doesn't need me to tote myself around thinking I'm something, because He's everything. Hallelujah. And so we see here then that to be straight, that straight and narrow way, that sound doctrine, because it's absolutely essential. It's a vital part of our Christianity. And Paul even told Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 13, and chapter 2 and verse 16, and then again in chapter 4, he made statements like this: hold fast the form of sound words, shun profane and vain babblings, preach the word. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Endure sound doctrine. It's very important, if I'm going to win anybody to Jesus Christ, that I have a firm, sound foundation in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the power of regeneration, and the power of the Holy Ghost, and holy, godly living. Hallelujah. Sound doctrine, because that's what's going to be able to turn the tide in individuals who have no knowledge of God, is when I'm able to answer their questions in humility, gentleness, and being able to instruct patiently. Sometimes the hardest thing for me is to instruct patiently. Because I just have this thought and I want to shove it right down their throat. Woo, hello. Because, you know, you just, because you know, you have the knowledge, you understand. But you have to have that knowledge and you have to have that understanding coupled with that humility, coupled with that gentleness and knowing how to fit in just what needs to be fitted in. Instructiveness. Amen. You know, some people, you can give them the whole run. You'll learn this teaching children. Some kids, they want to know how to spell a word. Mountain. Some kids, you can say F-O-U-N-T-A-I-N. They write it down. Some other children will say, F-O what? That's F-O-U. F-O-U, no, yeah, F-O-U-N. F-O-U what? It's nothing against them. It's just their mind doesn't grab it fast. Their mind just got the first three letters. All right, what's next? So instructiveness is being sensitive to what's going on. And bottom line, sensitivity to the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God already knows what's going on. Hallelujah. And so then all I have to be is instructive and let the Spirit of God then to put in letters. That may be all they need right now is F-O-U. They don't need the N-T-A-I-N yet because they got to process the F-O-U. Hello. Praise God. So this is why sometimes you cannot give the whole fullness. You have to give enough for them to begin to think upon, considering their ways. I mean, if you, I don't know if you've ever worked around concrete. Concrete is very forceful when it's in the liquid form. And when your forms are all there and you know how much it's going to take, you don't back the concrete truck up to one small area of those forms and say, dump the whole load! Because then those forms are going to go, and concrete's going to go everywhere, and you're going to have the biggest mess you ever dreamed of trying to get concrete gathered back up and put somewhere it belongs before it gets hard. Uh-huh. So now you'll understand when I say, don't dump the whole load of concrete on an individual that just needs a little bit. Don't strive. Hello. Oh, man, this is going to be long winter if I don't get going. Praise God. You got to have sound doctrine, but you don't want to give it all at one time. Hallelujah. It is the basis of everything of you living holy, living righteous, living pure, is you know what's right, but then you've got to be able to give it in the increments that it needs to be given in. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we see then that we've got to be straight. Doesn't necessarily mean straightforward. It means soundness of doctrine, soundness in the Word of God, soundness in our own personal walk with God, knowing our God and knowing His Word. Hallelujah. And we're going to have to be strong. Strong. 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong. And this is what we're going to have to be strong in. In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, grace is a wonderful thing. And just because you're strong doesn't mean you can't be gentle. Because they go hand in hand. Meekness is the combination of strength and gentleness. Meekness. You know, that's one of the lists in the fruit of the Spirit. Meekness. Amen. But did you ever think about it, the word gracious? Be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong in being gracious. That's kind of a strange thought, a strange word, being gracious. It used to be a common thing to be gracious to individuals, to greet individuals. You know, used to they would bow to each other. There was some type of being gracious. I mean, even individuals that were mad at each other did it in graciousness. Respecting one another, but wanting to kill one another. I mean, the days of old, the duels. When they were offended with someone, they didn't go up to them and just bash them. They were gracious to one another. They were going to do something, but they were gracious about it. Not gracious. In other words, they held their composure. They didn't just go hog wild, if I can use that terminology. We're in Oklahoma, so most folks might understand that. But they were gracious about their revenge even. And so when they challenged them, they would just go up, take off their gloves, and just smack their face. Well, that scared him, didn't it? And challenged them to a duel. And then they would conduct their revenge and their hatred, but they were gracious about it. But here we find that be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you be gracious to those that oppose you? Yes, don't strive. Be gentle. Can you be gracious? Be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Know who you are in Jesus Christ. Know, once again, you don't have a vendetta against the world, even though the world's your enemy. All the scriptures just flood my mind. Pray for those that despitefully use you, and love your enemy, and do good to those that don't do good to you. I mean, all through the scripture, that's being gracious, being strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving grace to those that oppose you. Giving grace to those that are bound in sin. Giving grace, being gracious unto them, goes along with befriending them, but not being a friend of the world. You see, a lot of times that's a paradox there, because we're not to love the world nor be friends of the world, but you've got to be gracious to the world. You can't come off like you're better than they are, because you can rest assured they're going to be hurling that at you anyway. Oh yeah, you always judge me, you always look down, you just think you're better than I. See, what are you going to do in that situation? Well, of course I'm better than you. I'm saved and you're not. Woo, hello. Uh-huh. Just talking about past experiences, Brother Matthew. Whoa, yeah, hey. Believe it or not, Brother Matthew, I've done it too. I have. You see, what is that? Well, that's a novice. Someone hasn't yet been learned in the Great Commission. You see, this is why there needs to be teaching. There needs to be training. We're training our children in Royal Rangers. We're training them to be gracious, aren't we? Yeah. To have good habits and to be kind to one another. And I mean, we're training them because they're going to run into it in life experiences. That's when they'll get experience and they can reach back to that training. Oh my, you get that training going on, you get them full of the Holy Ghost and learning to move with the Spirit of God, and all of a sudden now the Spirit of God's grabbing that teaching and putting it in them. And they're distributing it to those that are around them at a young age. At a young age. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. I got the opportunity to talk to an individual here this week. And he was telling me some things that was happening where he went to church. And so I just thought, I'll share some things happening where I go to church. I said, yeah. I said, man, I said, I'm excited about what God's doing in our children and our young people. I said, our children will just stand and worship when the church worships. You see, there's a lot of churches that they take their young people off and the young people have their own service. I'm not for that. Never have been. Never will be. And if you find me doing that, don't take this literal, but slap me. Because that is not what needs to be done. There's time for children's church. There's time for Sunday school. But when it comes to corporate worship, they all need to be right here. Hallelujah, where the Spirit of God's moving. Praise God. And they can glean from us and we can glean from them. Woo, praise be to our God. Hallelujah. But he said, that's the way I was raised. And I said, that's the way I was raised, and that's what I'm still doing. Praise God. Wouldn't surprise me if we don't see them come visit. Amen. Because things ain't like that out there. Brother Cisneros was touching on, there's a lot of strange fire out there in the church world today. Hallelujah. But I want to make sure the fire is burning in me. Hallelujah. That belongs and comes from the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. So I can be strong. And this is one reason why I read Acts chapter 1 verse number 8. Because this is where that strength in His grace is going to come from. This ain't just something I can muster up in myself. It's not something I can just decide to try to do one day. Okay, I'm going to be gracious to everybody. And I will find that I will not be. Because I'm going to try to do it the best I can, and I will find that I come up short, and the best I can never gets it done. But when I learn to submit to the Spirit of God and let Him begin to control my life on a daily basis, I will find that when I get put in that hot spot, I can be gracious. I can be kind. I can be merciful. I can be long-suffering. I can share. I can be instructive. Hallelujah. Because that's what the Spirit of God is for. Hallelujah. I made mention of this last Sunday, about how, you know, that Peter could sleep during his trial after Pentecost. But before Pentecost, all the disciples were going belligerently crazy in a storm on the sea. And Jesus was asleep in the boat. But all the disciples are going crazy because they're full of fear, doubt, and unbelief. But you go post-Pentecost, and Peter's asleep in the prison waiting to be beheaded. Whoa. Now you tell me, there's something different about that. There's strength. Be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I mean, that goes so many different directions, church. I mean, that's when Paul prayed and God said, my grace is sufficient. See, grace will take me through even things I don't like and wish were really gone, but God will just take me through it anyway. Hallelujah. And so His grace is sufficient for every need. Whatever I need, His grace is there. And so if His grace is sufficient to take me through, then I should learn and lay hold of the fact how grace then will touch the lives of other people that they receive from me. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I mean, there's been a time or two in classroom and school where a student just really, really, really just really needed Woody about three times. But I just looked at him and I said, you realize you need that, don't you? Yeah, I do. I said, but I'm going to show you what mercy is all about today. I said, it's not going to happen today. I said, you just received mercy. Give you an understanding of what mercy is. You deserve. But I'm not giving it to you today. I said, but I expect to see a greater performance out of you today and tomorrow. I said, don't receive this grace in vain. Wow. Be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a non-gracious Christian is a disgrace to the kingdom of God. God of heaven, be strong. Be straight. Be strong. Be studious. Studious. 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Isn't it wonderful that when you get born again by the Spirit of God, your mind becomes clear towards the things of God? Just clear as a bell. You have a faith that God's Word is forever settled in heaven. It's true. It's everything I need. A clear mind, a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:14 says, that good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Aha. So now, we don't have the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And the source is the Holy Ghost. And so then, if I keep a sound mind, a mind to work, a mind to pray, a mind to worship, a mind to read, a mind to think, Wow. Hallelujah. Do you know that there's something kind of missing in young people these last days? They don't like to think. They don't like to think. They don't like to figure things out. I guess I was just kind of a strange individual because, you know, I think I was just born trying to figure things out. It's just all about me. If I come to something, I begin to automatically try to figure a thing out. What I need to do here? How do I need to do this? How, you know, just start analyzing, calculating, measuring, just whatever it is you're working on. If it's a vehicle, a diagnostic, you know, hey, I was born in the time you didn't fuck something in and tell you if things wrong. You had to figure it out what it was. Hallelujah. There's been a multitude of times my son's brought vehicle to me and said, something ain't right with this thing, Dad. I need you to look at it. And I'll usually figure it out. It's just part of my genetics, I guess. Something about me. But see, it's not wrong, but then, you know, sometimes there's some things you just ain't going to figure out. And you got to learn to just walk away. Because it ain't going to happen. And then most of the time when you just walk away from it, you get about 10 foot from it. Of course, that's what it was. You know, praise our God. But see, be studious. Sound mind. Let the Spirit of God. See, this is the glorious thing about our God-given abilities. We use all of our abilities to study God's Word, to read God's Word, to listen to God's Word, to pump it into our minds and into our lives so that the Holy Ghost can extract just when He needs it. This is why study to show yourself approved. A workman worthy. Hallelujah. You see, this is what study is all about. It's getting ready. Now, that's one thing about you know, preaching is you can get your outline going and you can have your scriptures down there, but the fullness comes to it from the Spirit of God grabbing a hold of things that you've put in there all along your Christian life. Hallelujah. The more you put in, the more He has to grab a hold of and use. Hallelujah. And the glorious thing about it, by filling your mind with the Word of God, doesn't slow the Holy Ghost down. You can overfill a hard drive on a computer. And you can put too much on your desktop, and that thing will be slow as molasses. There's just little things you can do different to a computer to make them run a whole lot faster. I just haven't found too many people who are willing to sacrifice that. Yeah, only put on it what you need. The more you put on it, the slower it'll get. But praise God, that's not the way it is with the Holy Ghost. It's not the way it is about putting God's Word in your heart and in your mind. Hallelujah. Because the more you put in, really, the faster He works. Praise our God. Be studious. Study. Study. The Lord has given us His inspired Word. And He's given us minds by which we can study it, as well as the Holy Ghost that dwells in us to illuminate it. He expects us then to be diligent to use our minds to study. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I've already quoted 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Study to show yourself approved. You got to realize, or I'm wanting you to realize, you probably already realize, what Paul is trying to encourage Timothy about. He's trying to encourage Timothy in a day and an hour exactly like you and I live in. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And that word incontinence means just they're lawless. They have no self-control. They just do what they want, when they want, how they want. They don't care what anybody thinks about it. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. In other words, it's getting, in the hour we're living in, it's getting to the place, it's people that are evil don't want anybody good around them. They're despisers of those that are good. Used to, there was a generation that everybody respected the church. Everybody respected the house of God, and everybody respected the pastor, and everybody respected Christians. They didn't want to be like them, and they didn't want no part of it. They ran from it. I remember Brother Mullis sharing a story that, you know, his parents told him to always stay away from that one church down there in town. To don't even walk by it. It's the Pentecostal church. So they do strange things in there. And he said one night he just had to go by. Had to go look. So all the windows are open. The doors are open. They didn't have air conditioning back in that day. And so he went on the other side of the street and walked by just looking in. And, of course, they were having Pentecost. Folks was running. Folks was jumping. Some was in the floor. And, I mean, they were singing to the top of their voices. And he just kept on going. Little did he know his days were numbered. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Amen. Glory to the King. So, you know, it's just a reality. They don't want to be around anybody that's good, and then they become despisers of them. They're traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. In other words, he's talking to Timothy personally for his day and his hour. Because he's telling him, from such, turn away. They were already there in Timothy's day and hour, yet Paul knew it was going to get worse even farther down the line. Amen. And so he's giving him this instruction because he knows what he's going to be facing, church. Christ knows what we're going to be facing. And that's why he's given us this instruction. Hallelujah. So that we can be able to contend with the horses. The scripture says, if I grow weary with the footmen, how am I going to contend with the horses? Talking about warfare and talking about battle. Amen. You see, we haven't really seen anything yet. But yet we've got to prepare for battle. To prepare for battle is to have straight, sound doctrine. To be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. To study. Amen. To know the Word of God. Know the truths. And allow the Spirit of God not just to know it, but to live there. But to live there. Hallelujah. To live there. Because this is what we're going to face. This is what's coming against America. This is what's coming against the world. And in verse 13, picking up in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So now he's telling him it's even going to get worse than what you're seeing right now. But continue. Thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Steadfast. Steadfast. Even though nobody wants to live it. Even though nobody wants to hear it. Even though nobody desires it, though it may seem. Continue. Continue in the faith. Continue in that which you have learned. Continue in the Word of God that has been revealed to you. Those holy scriptures you have learned from a youth up. Continue therein. Because it's going to get worse. And thus, they're going to need a greater light. They're going to need that fire from heaven. They're going to need that fire burning in us. Hallelujah. So that we can respond properly. So that we can act properly. So we can speak properly. So we can live the life in front of them. It kind of amazes me a lot of times how that I keep crossing paths of people that I've made an impact and our family has made an impact in their lives from 20 some years ago. And they still come by like it was just yesterday. They remember it vividly. Wow. It amazes me. Because see, church, we're in this for the long haul. Hallelujah. That endurance race, that marathon. Run the race that is set before you. And keep running that race. Looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Finding that strength, hallelujah, to continue even when it seems like nobody else wants to. And though the number may be small, little is much when God is in them. Praise our God. When God is in them, and they're living there. They're living there. They're living it. They're breathing it. They're feasting upon God's word. They are ready for the rapture. You see, when you're striving for rapture readiness, you're also striving for commission readiness. Because they're one and the same thing. Christ Jesus living his fullness in us is rapture readiness. Christ Jesus living his fullness in us is commission readiness. Amen. I mean, you've got to be ready. Ready at any moment. Steadfast. Continuing on. Because the scripture is forever settled in heaven. And all scripture's been given by the inspiration of God. And it will help me. It will help me. Hallelujah. It will help me to be what I need to be for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. The only part that I've got to make sure I get put in position is where I'm going to put my will. Who I'm really going to serve. It's always amazing to me. Joshua had a made up mind from the word go. Joshua lived there. He lived there. Caleb lived there. Oh, man. Out of a million people, two live there. Woo! Praise God. I think we got more than that living there. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. That grace of God moving, living there, living that Christian life, keeping it fresh, keeping it full, keeping it exciting in your own life. Praise God. You know what? When it's exciting to you, it'll become exciting to other folks. It will. It just will, because they'll see that you're excited about what you're doing, how you're living, what God's doing in your life. You'll see, they'll see that you like it, you enjoy it, you love it, and you wouldn't want to be without it. And they're going to look at you like, wow, what is that? What is that? And when they lay their head down on their pillow at night, it'll be there. Oh, it'll be there. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise be to our God. Hallelujah. Glory. I've always made it a joke. They all say, well, how many are you running? I said, I'm running about 2,500. They're all on the run. But I'm catching about 35. Woo! Because there's a multitude out there that are running. Because we've crossed their paths already. And we've worked in their lives already. And they're running. They're running, but they can't get away from God and the truth and the power that they met in this house. Woo, hallelujah. Or even in Good Hope Church or underneath the tabernacle out there. Wow. They can't get away from it. It's all right there. And the Spirit of God just keeps reaching and pulling, reaching and pulling, reaching and pulling. Hallelujah. And that's why it is so important that when they see us 20 years later, they're seeing the same thing they saw 20 years ago. Woo, hallelujah. They're seeing the same thing they saw 20 years ago. What is that? Sound doctrine. Strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Steadfast. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Just the reality of wanting God's word, wanting God's will, wanting everything what God wants to do, that's what we want to do. Woo, praise be to our God. You see, if you want to live there, you're going to have to live there. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We've been given the power to become the sons of God. We are sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We've got to start getting the reality of who we are and where we really dwell. We are citizens of heaven. I'm glad I live in the United States of America. As I already told you, I'm glad I live in Oklahoma. But I am not just a citizen of the United States of America. I am a citizen of heaven. Hallelujah. And in that Lord's pattern of the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I got to live there. It's not just somewhere I go on Sunday. It's not just somewhere I go on Thursday night or Sunday night. It's not just somewhere I go during revival. I live there. I live there in the presence of Christ through His Word, through His Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Through those times of prayer, those times of meditation, those times of just being alone and thinking about God and talking to God and letting God talk to us. We live there. We live there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Could I have a piano player?